You're listening to Hockey Moms Uncensored, where the gloves come off and the truth comes out. Welcome back to Hockey Moms Uncensored. We're just rocking right along.
We are.
That's right. Last week was fun. We had an interview, but now you're stuck with just Emily and I.
The two of us.
This week. That's okay. And then we have a friend over here too, so we have another little special guest in the background. It's still summer here, so we're trying to manage children. I know, but it's been fun. I'm kind of sad that summer's almost over, but
it's flown by.
It really has. But that does mean that hockey season is starting back up, and we'll have so much more to talk about because we're going to be like in the thick of the season and practice and all the things.
Right.
We'll be like living at the rink. So.
Yes. Maybe we'll podcast from the rink.
I think we should. I feel like that's something we could definitely do.
Yeah.
I know there's another podcast that is from this area that's like goalie. Well, mostly focuses on goalie issues, I guess. So I don't know. I don't know where they podcast from, but maybe it's from the rink. So we'll have to get with them and see what they do. But anyways, well, today we're going to do an episode on safety and keeping our kids safe in when they play hockey and in this sport.
That's right. Obviously, as moms, it's super important to us to keep our kiddos safe.
Yeah.
We want them to be tough, but we also want them to, you know, grow up with all their teeth and,
no major
and
injuries.
Fully functioning brain. And I'm also a pediatric nurse practitioner, so I treat a lot of sports injuries.
Yeah.
And so it's especially important topic for me.
That's exactly right. Well, and I think you're going to be a good resource because, like you said, you treat a lot of patients and you've seen so many things. And I feel like as a mom and as a nurse practitioner, you should know like what not to do, or you like try to prevent things before they happen, which I know we can only do so much, but
true.
I feel like you just have almost too much, not too much knowledge, but you know what I mean?
But like, yeah, I mean, sometimes knowledge can be dangerous because you're like, oh gosh, like I know all these terrible things that can happen, but you know, you gotta live your life. You can't wrap them in bubble wrap.
That's true.
We just, you know, use the knowledge we have to prevent injury as best we can. And then thankfully, if injuries do happen, we live in an era where we have lots of great modern medicine that can treat most of it.
That's right.
Except for those head injuries can be a little tricky. So
that's true.
Stickler for those helmets.
That makes sense. Well, what's that saying? Like control the controllables. You know, it's like we can control what we can control.
Exactly.
There's things that are out of our control. So we just have to try to keep it, you know, like you said, keep it in the lines as much as possible.
That's right.
I saw a TikTok one time and it was like things I would never let my kid do.
Yeah.
As someone that works in the ER, and it was like 3 out of the 5, I was like, Lord, I'd let all my kids do that.
Same. So my husband has been in emergency medicine for 10 years.
Yeah.
And we have a trampoline. I see that one on those lists all
Heck
the time.
Yeah.
I would never let my child jump on a trampoline.
And that's all I did as a kid. Like,
yeah.
I think I had two
we
trampolines.
We didn't have net back then either. Like, we have a net on our trampoline. But
and I fell through the side and cut my arm on
right
the springs, and I was fine. But
yeah.
I know, we don't have one, and I'm like, we need to get a trampoline, and then I see those, I'm like, okay, maybe not.
Yeah.
And I'm like, maybe we need a springless, or maybe we need this, and my husband's like, again, we can't just wrap them in bubble wrap, like, you know, we can't just be scared of everything.
Right.
I'm like, I know, but that's what parenting is, right?
Yeah.
We're scared of everything.
Yeah.
Well, and I know we've talked a lot about this on previous episodes, is that hockey gets a bad rap for being dangerous, and, you know, how could you put your kids in that sport, and I also think coming from Alabama, it's a big football state. So, you know, that's another very dangerous sport.
Yeah.
So we're kind of like in the, like, we're in like the danger zone of,
right.
I don't know, kids sports. So
yeah.
It's hard.
Well, and I read hockey is the second leading cause of winter sports injuries. Skiing is actually the first, which I guess isn't that surprising.
No.
And then it's the second leading cause of sports-related concussions. With rugby being the first, which that doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. Well,
I've never watched rugby.
I've watched rugby, and I mean, I'm sure the technology for their equipment has grown, but I don't feel like
they really wear
much.
No, they like don't wear anything.
Yeah.
And they don't even wear helmets. My brother-in-law played in college, and it's brutal.
I know, right?
Like, why aren't y'all wearing helmets?
Exactly.
I don't understand.
I know. My cousin, he was a sports trainer, and he worked for the University of Arkansas.
Okay.
And he was like part of this study where they were trying to work on the football helmet and make it even better towards, you know, preventing concussions and, you know, just technology to, you know, see where the force came from.
Right.
And so, yeah, I mean, I think that the technology has come a long way and people are trying to be safe in, you know, in sports. And I think it's especially important at a young age because, like, we're a lot more fragile at a young age.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. For sure. I mean, your spine, hasn't finished growing. You know, you've still got to worry about growth plates if you have fractures and your brain's not finished forming. And I mean, there's just a lot more things to be concerned about. Not that we want adults having concussions either, but especially during those formative years, it's especially important to protect that brain.
So as I feel like in 8U, not that I don't worry about it as much, or like younger kids, I don't worry about it as much because I do wear helmets in hockey, like it's required. And I mean, they fall down. I'm not saying that that's not dangerous, but they don't check. Like they're not super aggressive yet. So I feel like that kind of fear of concussion or head injury is not as prevalent right now.
Yeah, I agree.
But I do know that that's coming and it's something that they're going to be focused on. Even us being at the rink the past couple of weeks, they've been doing some scrimmaging and, you know, as they get older, there are some kids that are a little bit more aggressive and we're over here telling Stealth, like, you need to be more aggressive, you know, get shoulder to shoulder with them and, you know, get in there, go after the puck. But I still feel like it's still kind of minor. But but that is something that you worry about, you know? I mean, if they take a hard spill, I mean, that ice is hard.
Absolutely.
So it's scary.
I think, you know, I would imagine, I don't, this isn't based off data, but I would imagine in younger kids who aren't as, you know, good at skating yet, you probably see a lot more, you know, like arm fractures from them catching their falls. And I would think concussions are definitely significantly lower because, like you said, they're not checking.
Right.
And if you read the research, checking is the number one cause of injury in hockey, so, which makes sense.
Yeah, and so until we get to that point, I guess we don't have to worry about it as much. And I know when they're in little Toros, so when they're learning to skate, they always tell them, like, to lean more forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that makes sense of, like, why they would have more of an arm injury.
Right.
Because if they're leaning forward and they're trying to catch themselves, their arms are going to be the one to do it.
And that outstretched arm.
Yeah.
Getcha.
So I think, like you said, when we talk about head injuries, it's important and it's something we need to monitor and think about. But is there anything other than wearing a helmet that we can do to prevent that? Like, is there something we can do?
I mean, obviously, you know, playing by the rules.
Yeah.
You know, and avoiding fighting. I mean, hockey, I know, is kind of known for fighting. You don't really see that in our age group.
Right.
And obviously, it's not encouraged. I feel like in the minors, sometimes it's almost like encouraged because it gets the fans riled up and they need to have those numbers.
They need people in the seats.
But, you know, teaching good sportsmanship, teaching them to play by the rules. But, yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, I think, is wearing those helmets and making sure that they're properly fitting helmets and that they're up to date. Because, like you said, they do change technologies and improve them. And I think, you know, every year USA Hockey puts out new guidelines and, you know, makes known any changes that they've made to requirements for equipment. So
that makes sense. Well, and when you're first starting out in hockey, I can see why people would maybe borrow a helmet or just get one that fits. But as they get into more competitive play, making sure that it, like you just said, fits properly, it's comfortable, you know, all the straps are functioning properly. I think that's important.
So, absolutely.
I also know, like, with adults, like even in like the beer league, if they fight or they check too aggressively, like they could essentially get kicked out and like not get to play.
That's
so
good.
I mean, like, again, like my husband plays and I mean, there's just a little bit of competitive, you know, not combat, but he would be mad at me because I'm not saying it right. Competitive play is what I'm going to call it. But anything that's more aggressive, you could, I mean, you get some warnings and things, but you could definitely get kicked out. And I think most adults that are not playing professionally, like, they all have to get up and go to work the next day.
Right.
Like, they have kids. I mean,
they can't go home and sit in an ice bath.
Right.
They don't have either a personal trainer or whatever, athletic trainer.
To help with their injury.
Yeah.
So I think if anything, as they get older with men, especially, that's more than like chirping at each other and, you know, maybe saying some curse words, but not as much physical stuff. So,
yeah.
But yeah, with our little boys, I think the head. You know, I want their brain that needs to be intact.
Yes. Right? I mean, we can fix broken bones. I'm not saying there won't be some repercussions down the road, but for the most part, broken bones we can fix, dislocated joints we can fix, but a TBI, traumatic brain injury, that can be devastating and life-altering.
That's very true.
Even just a mild concussion, if they repeatedly have concussions as they're growing up, that can have lifelong effects.
Men that have consistent concussions when they play football, they can get a condition, what's it called? You say it better than me.
CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, I think.
Yeah. So I think that's when it can cause those long-term effects. Right. And, you know, I don't say it's like Alzheimer's types.
It can though, yeah, you know, memory loss and chronic headaches and just all kinds of life altering symptoms that you don't want your child to experience 30, 40, 50 years down the road.
Well, and what are some signs of a concussion? I feel like I know some of them, but what are some signs? Yeah.
So immediately at injury, you may see loss of consciousness. You may not. Nausea and vomiting after injury, confusion, headaches, excessive tiredness, not remembering the event that occurred. What are some other ones? I think those are the main ones.
In your experience, if you feel like your child had hit their head and you're just questioning it, would you just recommend just checking in with their pediatrician or their doctor? I mean, obviously, absolutely, if they have those crazy symptoms, like go to the emergency
room. Right. Yes.
If you're kind of like on the fence and you're like, I don't know, it's probably okay.
Yeah.
Just maybe get a second opinion and check with your doctor.
So kind of my triage questions, I guess, if somebody calls me and they're concerned about their kid is, did they lose consciousness? Are they vomiting? And if it's either of those two, then I'll send them on to the ER for evaluation. ER may or may not decide to scan their brain. There is a lot of evidence now showing that there is significant increase. I can't remember percentages, but significant increase in rates of cancer among children who have CT scans early in life.
Okay.
So we're a lot more cautious on making the call to scan a brain before we actually do it, because
you just don't scan it for no reason.
Right. Yeah. Like, we're not, if your kid has a goose egg, that's not automatic reason to do a CT. But yeah, so my questions would be nausea and vomiting. Did they lose consciousness? You know, are they playing normal? That's a huge indicator of health in general in kids. If they're, you know, talking to you, playing normal, then you're probably okay to just kind of keep an eye on them. But I pretty much always say, come on in so I can do a good neuro exam and just make sure that they're okay.
Never hurts to just double check.
Right.
Follow your mom gut. You know, with your kids' normal behavior, you feel like they're not acting right. And that's, I think, what's hard with like a brain injury is they're not like, oh, it's not like a broken bone.
Right.
It's not like, oh, there's like red swelling. You know, it's it's a little bit harder to kind of determine.
It is. And so it can be sneaky too. Yeah. I mean, you know, some like brain bleeds take longer to see any type of symptoms at all. So I understand why it can be especially nerve-wracking.
Yeah. So maybe just be better to be safe than sorry.
Absolutely.
And I would say, you know, if you feel like something's off, I mean, even if you go into the doctor and they look at you like you're crazy, you can have that like, you know what, I tried.
Yeah, absolutely.
I did the best I could do. So, you know, I feel confident that I did every step to make sure.
That's right.
Okay. Well, good to know. Well, hopefully we won't have any brain injuries.
Yes. And
I will say, on our team, there's a lot of medical professional parents.
Yeah, there are. I feel like we're well covered.
That's right.
We have any emergencies. Happens,
we're good to go.
Yeah. Hey, hockey moms. We know you're tired from those early morning practices and late night games. And unfortunately, not every hockey rink has an on-site Starbucks. Luckily, we have a solution for you. Bucked Up Energy. With drinks ranging from 100 to 333 milligrams of caffeine, Bucked Up is sure to give you all the energy you need to cheer on your favorite hockey player. Go to buckedup.com to order and use code Emily1027 to get 10% off today.
Okay, so other than head injuries, there's a couple other things that I don't want to say they're kind of similar, but they're somewhat similar that kind of injuries. So like the next one would be like shoulder injury. Like that's a really common
thing. Right. So after the brain, we kind of start looking more at like ortho-related injuries. Yeah. So shoulder injuries, you'll see a lot of like dislocations, fractured collarbones. I think that the shoulder pads and chest plate do a pretty decent job of protecting the collarbone, but you still will see that. That's a very vulnerable bone.
Yeah.
It's easy to break. So, and you know, they do like you call it shoulder checking? I don't know. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times they'll, even our boys will kind of bump up against each other in the shoulder. So that, you know, if you have loose joints or just get hit just right, it's real easy to bump something loose in there.
Yeah.
And a lot of times those can be healed up with rest and physical therapy, but sometimes they do require surgery. Just depends on the severity of the injury.
I feel like with the shoulder injury, I mean, like, you know when that hurts. Like, you, I feel like that's something that's like easily detected or,
right,
you know what I mean?
And if it's dislocated, you can pretty much look at it. You don't really have to be a professional to look at them and be like, oh, that doesn't look right.
If it was dislocated, I mean, if there's someone that feels confident putting it back in, like, what do you think they should do?
I would probably only let a medical professional put it back in. I mean, if it were Chip and Wes was there, then maybe I would let Wes put it back in. But that's also excruciatingly painful. Yeah. So kiddos, a lot of times have to be sedated for that. Yeah. Because it also, when they're stressed and they're in pain, it also causes all those muscles to tighten, which makes it even harder to put it back into place. So a lot of times you have to at least give a good pain medication to kind of help them relax before you can actually pop it back in there.
Gosh. I know Cody, when he was like in 7th or 8th grade, he'll probably correct me, but I think it was 7th or 8th grade. He dislocated both of his shoulders in football. He was the
quarterback. At the same time? Mm-hmm. Oh, no. My brother had several, but it was not two at the same time.
That's what he said. I mean, maybe I'm wrong. If I am, he'll tell me. But I don't know. I feel like this story, you know, I've heard of the story many times, but I feel like it was both at the same time, but maybe not. He's at least had both of them dislocated at one point or another. And he said that they just like popped it back in place on the field and he passed out.
Yeah. Like I said, it's excruciatingly painful. I mean, I've never experienced it, but I've seen people experience it.
Well, even like when people have like shoulder surgery, they say it's like very, very painful.
Yeah.
Like,
I remember my brother having his and it looked real rough.
Yeah. Like rotator cuff and all that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, and luckily they do have all the pads on. And like you said, the shoulder pads have a lot of padding. Again, like the technology has come so far.
Yes.
And obviously, can there be times that things happen? Sure. But, you know, I've not seen anybody, I mean, in my little bit of experience, have a shoulder injury. But it's obviously possible. And we just need to make sure that we make sure that they always wear the pads. Make sure that we're putting those on properly. Same thing, like fit is probably very important.
Of course.
You don't want it to be sliding around and uncomfortable. And just make sure that it's, you know, on there properly. Mm-hmm. And I think, knock on wood, they should be fine.
Yes,
I know. I'll knock hopefully. On wood. It's almost like as we're talking about injury, I'm like, oh God, like, are we manifesting?
I know, I'm probably giving you things to worry about.
No, I know.
That you wouldn't even think about.
That's right.
Yeah.
So next on the list after shoulder is an elbow injury.
Yes. Ooh. So again, I feel like this one isn't as common because they do wear pads on their elbows, or at least they're supposed to. My child, for some reason, hates elbow pads and will try to not wear them if nobody catches them. But I mean, that again is a very vulnerable, very bony location. So I think little fractures are common. And I also read that bursitis, which is swelling of that little fluid-filled sac, can cause a lot of pain in hockey players, apparently. It's pretty common.
And I just wonder, like, if it ever, you know, like you said, you have that elbow pad on, like if it were ever to like slide out of place, you know,
it
wasn't fitting properly and it slid out of place
for sure.
Hit right on the elbow.
Yeah.
I can imagine that hurting.
Yeah.
But like you said, Stealth doesn't love his elbow pads either. I know like the Velcro strap that goes around his like bicep area kind of digs in.
Sandwich
it. You know.
But we've tried different sizes and everyone we try, he still complains about it.
I
know. Just like, sorry, kid.
I know. We did get a, because I mean, though, he wears a shirt underneath his pads and all that. We found this one shirt. It was like a long sleeve shirt and it was like still that like, athletic material.
Yeah, like Under Armour kind of material.
Yeah, kind of like Under Armour material. And that maybe helped a little bit just because it was a barrier from the Velcro. But, I mean, we only have one of those. So,
right.
I mean, I don't know. I guess you could invest in long sleeves.
Yeah. Then he starts complaining about being hot, which is hard to imagine. But, I mean, they do get sweaty.
Their, you know, heart rate up and all that. So, I guess, you know, it's kind of a catch-22. It's like, you got to wear it. It's okay.
Sorry, kid.
But I think it's interesting that even at like a young age in little Toros, they don't like require elbow pads. They don't require any.
You're right.
Pads.
They don't. They just wear their helmets, right?
Mm-hmm. I know with Blaine, he's done a few little lessons and he's going to do little Toros this next coming session.
Mm-hmm.
And he likes to wear a helmet and gloves, obviously. He doesn't want to wear all this equipment. And like sometimes I'm like, okay, like you don't want to wear your shin guards. You don't want to wear your elbow pads. But this is the time when he like falls down a lot more.
Right.
So I'm surprised that he hasn't complained, but I don't know. I feel like obviously it's important when you're playing hockey because it's an aggressive sport.
Sure.
And you're, you know, being defensive in play. But even at little kids, I feel like if they hit their little elbow,
I know,
it's going to hurt.
Ouch.
But same with the next one. Well, the next one is the back, but we're going to talk about like knees and ankles and all that.
Yeah.
Same thing. Like those little tender
those
areas.
Joints. Yeah.
I can't imagine not wanting to wear a pad.
Same.
I feel like as an adult, I'm like, I want to be covered.
Yes.
Anywhere and everywhere.
Yeah. I guess they rebound from it a little bit faster than we do.
We like know the consequences. Like, yeah. They're just clueless. Don't realize what could happen.
Right.
And so they're like, whatever, I don't
It'll
care.
Be fine.
And I'm like, invincible. But what if you fall? What if you break something?
You know, so but you don't want to make them scared.
That's
so
true. Like, I know. Like, well, we'll just deal with it.
Yeah.
What is that? Like a natural consequence. We'll just deal with the natural consequence.
Like the helmet is a non-negotiable, but everything else.
Yes. We'll give you a break, I guess. So after the shoulder injury and the elbow injury, the next common is a back injury, which makes sense.
So, I mean, anything where you're at risk of having a fall, you're at risk of hurting your back.
Yeah.
But also some of the things I read, we're talking about how the posture, they're kind of tilted forward.
Mm-hmm.
So that can obviously cause some back pain. And of course, when you check, you're twisting and hyperextending mm-hmm. and bending that spine in ways that it's not really inclined to bend and putting added pressure on it. So you're always at risk of
and I feel like after a certain age, which again, I know we're talking about like little kids, but after a certain age, I'm not trying to make this about myself, but after a certain age, our back is always like vulnerable. You know, it's like you can bend over and you're like, oh my God.
Yes. Sneeze.
Yeah. You're like, what the heck? I'm just like a little delicate flower.
Yeah.
Anything hurts now. But I know when we started doing hockey and skating, I went out there and I was skating and we have my younger son and I'm trying to hold his hands and you're in like a weird position and you're supposed to bend your knees, like probably over exaggerate how much you're supposed to bend your knees. And we don't do that because then it starts to hurt your thigh, like your legs.
Yeah, it makes them burn.
So then you end up like bending over at your back. And I remember being like, my back hurts so bad just by ice, like public skate with my little kids. So again, like, I feel like little kids, they're not as, not that they're not vulnerable because they are vulnerable, but like us older people, we're just, I don't know.
We're more likely to have the aches and pains not be able to walk the next day.
And I think with kids, if you can like continue to encourage like proper form of like bending your knees,
absolutely.
Don't bend at the waist, I hope that will help, you know, keep them from injury.
Mm-hmm.
And I know we might talk about this later, but like just like strength training and like, you know, strengthening those muscles and trying to, you know, keep that posture in a good position.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully that'll help them not have back problems down the road. But
yeah.
I know as an adult, like you said, I can do one little tweak and I'm like, oh my God, my back hurts for 2 weeks. Like it's just not fun. So after that we have our hip. So I mean, again, that makes sense. Like
kind of
the same area.
Mm-hmm.
And they have pads and they have the shorts.
Yes, that are padded.
That are padded. And I mean, there's lots of extra padding over there. I mean, I feel like with those shorts on, they look like a sumo wrestler. Like they look huge.
They do. I know. I feel like it adds 50 pounds or something.
I know.
But
that's why, like, if you look at a hockey player, like in equipment and out of equipment, like they don't look like the
same
person.
Right. They don't.
Because there's so much extra stuff going on. So.
And hips, again, weren't the most common, but it did say they were prone to bursitis and occasional like dislocations and fractures.
But I guess if you just hit it the wrong way,
yeah,
I feel like that's just bad luck, you know. It's
for
like,
sure,
there's only so much you can do, and I don't know. That's I feel like the percentage is probably low, but there's got to be somebody,
yeah,
you know, that like makes that percentage
just twist just the right way or hits just the right way.
Yeah. And like you said, when you're checking and you're being in that competitive, you know, combat, trying to get the puck and all that
mm-hmm.
stuff, like things happen.
For sure.
You just have to be prepared. And again, like make sure that we're trying to strength train and stretch
mm-hmm.
and just be as strong as possible to hopefully prevent that.
Okay, moms, hockey expenses might have you in a 5-year-old bra, but with Splendies, there's no reason for your panties to be old. Splendy sends you 3 new pairs of cute panties every month for just $16.99, and right now, you can get your first month for only $5. Go to splendies.com to subscribe today.
Okay, so after hip, we have knee injuries.
Yes. So, I mean, I feel like any sports, you're going to see a lot of knee injuries. But I did read that in hockey, you're more likely to have MCL, which is medial collateral ligament, injuries, as opposed to like basketball, where you see a ton of ACL injuries. Yeah. And that's because in hockey, you're like, you see them like pushing off the edges of their blades, whereas in and you're usually having more smooth movements, whereas in like basketball or sports where you're jumping, that's when you a lot of times will see, you know, a player start to move and their knee just doesn't go with them, or they stop moving and their knee keeps moving. Gotcha. And that's where you see those ACL tears.
That makes sense. And I know Cody, he's torn his ACL and his meniscus playing basketball.
Yep.
Back in the day.
Basketball, I think, is the number one cause of ACL injuries in sports, I'm pretty sure.
And we were at a friend's house and he was wearing like not basketball shoes and they were just shooting around. Yeah. And
that's usually how it goes.
That's right. Like not when you're expecting it. But I feel like with the knee, again, it's kind of like anything. Like, you know when it hurts, but you're not always sure if, like, something is torn.
Yeah.
Like, you know this hurts. It doesn't feel normal. But then it's like, is it torn? Is it not? So.
Especially if it's just a partial tear. Yeah. If it's a complete tear, a lot of times you'll hear, like, a pop. And you'll be like, okay,
something's not right.
That was it.
But, and I think with kids, sometimes it's hard to get that information from them because they, like, don't know how to describe it.
Yeah.
So you're like, well, did it pop? Well, I don't know. Well, how does it feel? Well, I don't know. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like, you're trying to kind of assess their injury, even as like a parent. And I know you as like a medical professional, you know better questions to ask. But even as a mom, when they scrape their elbow, you're like, well, what happened? And you're trying to get these.
Drag that info out.
Yeah. And so I feel like if it's a major injury, like a torn ligament, maybe you should just go and like get it checked out by your doctor.
Yeah.
If you have a question.
Yeah.
Because again, like, did you hear it pop? How does it feel? When you walk, does it hurt? And they're like, well, I don't know. What'd you have for lunch? I don't know. And you're like, you know what I mean? They just don't have good memory of that sometimes.
No, they don't.
But I feel like, I know when Cody tore his, it was like consistent pain over a long, like it never got better. And he didn't go to the doctor for like 2 weeks. And so he walked on a fully torn ACL meniscus for a while. But he was a little bit stubborn and didn't want to go to the doctor. But when he finally did, it made sense. So I feel like kids, I feel like, are a little bit more prone to like complaining.
Yeah, typically. I mean, I guess it depends on the kid. But yeah, I feel like they'll usually tell you
if something continues to hurt.
Yeah.
So if it's something ongoing, if you're not really sure, like when it initially happens, if it's a consistent issue of like, this hurts, then maybe that's when you would go get a doctor's evaluation.
Yeah.
Is it kind of the same thing with like an MRI or an x-ray? I guess you can't do an x-ray to see ACL or.
Yeah, you can. I mean, you can. A lot of times ortho will have us do an x-ray before we refer just to make sure bones and everything are in place. But yeah, if you're going to see tendons and ligaments, you got to do an MRI.
Is there any like being hesitant to do the body?
MRIs are pretty safe to do on kiddos.
That makes sense. Okay, good deal. All right. And then after the knee, we have the ankle.
Yes.
I feel like we're like kind of starting from the top and going down.
Yeah, that was my intention. But yeah, the ankle is not quite as common just because if your skates fit properly, that's pretty good support of your ankles. So you don't see as many like Achilles tendon tears and that sort of thing as you do in like football, but it does occur from time to time. And I would imagine probably less experienced players are probably more susceptible just because those muscles aren't as strengthened and that sort of thing.
That makes sense. And I think, you know, going back to what you said, making sure that your skates fit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the two things that are probably the most important things to fit properly and to maybe spend more money on would be your helmet and your skates.
Right. Top and bottom.
Yeah. Top and bottom. So I think if you are just trying out hockey and you're doing like rentals or borrowed skates, like those are probably good for a short period of time. But if you want to get into more competitive hockey at a young age, you need to get skates that fit properly. And one thing I think is hard with equipment in general is, like, there's so many brands and like some fit your foot this way and some fit this way. And like, it's hard to try it out. I know Cody, my husband, like he bought two or three helmets because they were too tight and they, you know, and it just wasn't comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
He had one helmet that would like dig into his head and it's just like, it would like give him a headache and be more harm than good. So I think trying to find, like, I don't want you to have to buy a bunch of stuff and make that mistake, but I wish there was a better way to like try out some of this equipment.
Well, and I'm sure probably in other areas where you can go to like Dick's or Academy or whatever your sporting goods store is and actually try stuff on like we can for football and baseball and whatever else. That's probably a little easier. But around here, we have the pro shop.
That's it.
And that's it. And it's not a big pro shop. So
unless you want to drive 2 hours, 3 hours to go.
Pure hockey. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's tough. But I think making sure that your skates fit, making sure they're tight enough. Mm-hmm. That was one thing when Stealth first started. I don't think I was getting the laces tight enough. And that's really important because you don't want a lot of movement.
Right. You don't want them looking like little baby deer out there with their wobbly feet.
Exactly. So just making sure that they're properly laced and tight and they fit well, that's going to prevent any of those ankle injuries. And again, like over time, they're going to build those muscles. And, you know, as they get older, like, you know, strength training and doing, you know, doing some extra stretches and, you know, not bodybuilding, but, you know, workouts to resistance. Help strengthen and, you know, get those muscles and be as healthy and strong as possible.
I think absolutely. Helps,
right. So I feel like we've talked a lot about like you said, the ortho aspect of it. We've talked about the brain. Those are all really important. Some other things that we want to mention are like lacerations.
Yes.
I mean, we have these sharp skates and they can be dangerous.
Absolutely.
And I feel like it can be as simple as like you're getting the skate out of the bag and you grab it the wrong way and cut your finger. I have this like intrusive thought, which is probably crazy, but all these little kids, like I have younger kids. Especially my youngest, she's like a year and a half and she's walking around or sitting on the ground and Stealth will have his skates on. And I have this intrusive thought of him like stepping on her hand with his skates.
Oh yeah, I thought that too.
And it's like, it makes you nervous.
Yes,
you know?
It does.
And sometimes little kids, like they're just reckless, you know, like there's one time that Stealth had his skate and he was like kicking it up in the air and I'm like, what are you doing?
Like that's a knife on the bottom of that kid.
So I think, you know, simple things like that you don't think about. Like I feel like, again, like a split second something happens, someone's in the wrong place. I know they're not as sharp as some things, but they do have a blade on there.
It is a blade.
And so I think if it hits the right way, it can definitely cause an injury. So I just try to be mindful of that. I always try to make sure the skate guards are on. We don't take our skate guards off until it's like time to go onto the ice, you know, like we kind of try to prevent that as much as possible. And you know, like I said, stay within the control, the controllables. But then there's also like freak accidents that happen and people get cut in the neck. You know, you've heard that in the news. So
now we have neck guards. So we're thankful for that.
We have neck guards now. It's very important. But, you know, there's, and I think even the wife of that hockey player that got killed because he got, you know, in the jugular in the neck. I mean, I don't think she was mad because, I mean, not mad. I don't know, but they found that it was intentional. The guy tried to
He got charged with it. So, yeah, I think he's in jail.
Oh my gosh, I didn't realize that. So, I mean, but I feel like if it's unintentional, things happen. And I guess that's the risk you take with anything in life. And intentional, that's a little bit different story. But, I mean, accidents do happen and you just have to manage them as as best you can. But again, control what you can. Try to be mindful of that. Like I always say, like keep your head on a swivel. Let's just try to make sure we're keeping our wits about us and, you know, trying to make good choices. So it's hard.
Prevent what we can and manage what we can.
And again, in hockey, when they're on the ice, I mean, they're pretty much covered.
They are. Yes.
At this point now, I mean, we learned the hard way. That's all.
Now we've got the next covered too.
But, you know, there's probably a potential that you could get cut somewhere or another because something moves out of place.
There's always going to be some little vulnerable area. And sometimes there's going to be freak accidents where it just happens to get one of those areas.
That's right. But it's all going to be okay. If moms are freaking out, don't freak out.
No.
And then the last thing that we wanted to mention, and maybe there's others and people can let us know, but or if we missed something, but would be like your teeth.
Your chiclets.
That's right. And, you know, I used to be a dental hygienist and worked in the dental field and, you know, we don't live in a predominantly hockey area. So I never saw a hockey injury. Yeah. But I guess, you know, especially in professional hockey, they wear like the half shield. Like they don't even wear a full shield.
Right. Which is crazy to me.
I know. I just can't imagine having a tooth issue at this young of an age because they have on a shield. Could it happen? Sure. I feel like, again, that would almost be like a freak accident. But, you know, if they lose a tooth, there's options. I mean, you can replace it. If it's a baby tooth, don't worry about
it. Right, exactly.
But it's very calm. I guess as they get older, you know, that's just something that you have to think about. Mm-hmm. But there's also times when people lose teeth for other reasons.
Sure.
And luckily in the dental field, there's so many, you know, you get an implant, you can get partials, you can get, yes. I mean, there's things that you can do. It's not the end of the world, but I know no one wants their kid to lose a tooth prematurely, but it does happen. I do think that we're pretty well protected with the equipment.
Absolutely, at their age.
Those crazy pro hockey players that it's almost like a rite of passage.
It is. It's like you're not a real hockey player until you've busted out a tooth.
Lost a tooth, but whatever. And you know, if you think about it, if you lose some teeth, you can just get better ones and you'll just look even better. That's true,
especially if you're an NHL player.
Heck yeah.
You got plenty of money.
That's exactly right. So don't stress too much about the teeth, but I guess it's definitely, it could happen.
Yeah.
We won't take it off the table. But for sure. Probably not as common. So again, we've talked a lot about a bunch of different injuries. We talked a little bit about prevention, mm-hmm. but you know, what are some things that you feel like is important to prevent some of these things?
So, I mean, we've already talked a lot about properly fitting equipment and up-to-date equipment, especially that helmet for concussion protection or head injury protection. You know, proper form and proper technique and a good foundation there. Like you don't want to just throw your kid, which I don't know of anywhere that would let you do this, but you don't want to just throw your kid out on the ice with a stick and a puck the first time they've ever skated. Yeah. Like that's not safe. They need a good foundation of skating. And then they can start to learn the sport of hockey. Also always recommend getting all children a physical before they start playing sports. Most schools, or probably all schools, require that. But, you know, in league play, you don't necessarily have to do that. I'm not saying you have to take them for necessarily a full sports physical, but just make sure they're up to date on their exams.
Healthy.
Right. They're developmentally where they need to be. Also, you know, conditioning and strength training. Obviously, we're not going to have our 8-year-olds in the gym deadlifting and
we aren't. Oh, darn. I'm kidding. Doing all kinds of weightlifting.
But as they get older, we definitely want to make sure we're working hard to build those muscles that they're going to be using. And, you know, like you said earlier, the stronger they are, the less susceptible they are to injuries, especially those ortho related injuries.
Stretching, warming up, I think is important too.
Absolutely. Yeah. Don't just hop right out there at game time.
We're not great about doing that. Like, I feel like we probably could take more time.
We probably could do better.
Stretch and all that, but
taking some laps around the ice and that sort
just
of thing.
Get their body warmed up a little bit. But, you know, I do think kids, they kind of run around and they're probably doing that.
Yeah, they're kind of warmed up just from being themselves.
Yeah, exactly. They're crazy selves running around. But yeah, I think that doing a little bit of a warm-up, stretching, making sure that nothing's too tight or, you know, nothing's, you know, uncomfortable, that will help just, again, prevent those injuries to ligaments and things like that. And again, I feel like when you're playing a sport, it needs to be very well-rounded. Like, you know, you need to be healthy in your diet. You know, that's important. You don't need to, you know, you are what you eat, right? Mm-hmm. So I think nutrition is important. Protein is important. I think, again, we're not going to have them in the gym, like lifting weights, but eventually that can be something that you implement. And just for overall health, not just for hockey, but, and I'm sure like with every sport, there's some specific workouts that kind of help, you know, cater to those areas that you need to, but, you know, just finding those out and, you know, just really trying to be overall healthy, getting good sleep.
Yes.
All that kind of plays a factor into being safe and injury prevention.
Absolutely. So. And then things like just, we talked a little about this earlier, but just teaching your kids to play by the rules and to be a good sport. You know, we all have moments where we turn into hotheads and we get ticked off because somebody instigates something on the ice or, you know, in whatever sport we're playing. But I think generally, if you can just teach them to have good sportsmanship and to not fly off the handle and whack someone with their stick or, or, you know,
push them, give them a shot.
And we want them to be somewhat aggressive. You know, when they get older, they will check and we expect them to play to that level, but, you know, don't do it in a way that's trying to harm someone else, because, you know, you may harm that other person. You may also harm yourself in the process.
For sure.
So,
well, and don't be doing something you don't want something done to you. Don't do something to someone others. that you don't want done to you. And I know there was one time when Stealth was, I don't feel like he was doing it maliciously, but he was trying to keep I think it was just during like learn to play. He was like sticking his stick out like into their skates.
Yeah.
Trying to get them to not get the puck.
Yeah.
That's tripping. And, you know, at this age, they're vulnerable.
Cause right.
They skate as well. And we were like, hey, man, like, I understand what you were trying to do.
Yeah.
There's other ways to do it.
Right.
So I think parents taking ownership of, like, speaking to them and, like mm-hmm. you said, teaching them that good mm-hmm. sportsmanship. And, like, we don't give cheap shots. We don't, right. like, just, you know, be a jerk.
Yeah.
And, you know, forcefully go after someone.
Right.
And try to hurt them. Especially, like, now Stealth is playing in this little scrimmage twice a week. And there's, like, younger kids. And it's really, it's actually really nice because they're, you can see that they're kind of holding back with these little 6 and 7 year olds because they are bigger, stronger,
yeah.
more advanced in their skating and hockey skills. So I think most kids want to be good. They don't want to be malicious. But if you start seeing those tendencies, like addressing
them in. Yeah.
And be like, hey, yes, hockey is a physical sport, mm-hmm. but you're being an asshole.
Right. Stop. Yeah. Like dial it back a
That's
little.
Right. That's right. Yeah. I think we want to do what we can for our kids to keep them safe, keep them from getting injuries, but also know that that's a possibility. And if it is, one of the things that we have on our list is just like treating it promptly.
Right.
Don't waiting. Like if you feel like something's off, just get it checked out.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you are crazy and nothing's wrong, you have that peace of mind.
Right. And I mean, as a healthcare provider, I can say, like, we don't think you're crazy.
Yeah.
Like, that's why we're there.
You're a good parent.
Yeah, we're glad when there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
It's our job to rule that out, not yours.
Yeah.
So if you're worried, bring them in.
That's right. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
Well, I think that you've given us a lot of good insight on, you know, kind of like your perspective as a nurse practitioner and seeing all these sports injuries. But again, there's only so much that we can do. Things are going to happen. Control the controllables. But at the end of the day, hockey is not a sport that you have to be scared of.
No.
They can get hurt in any sport.
Absolutely. And they can get hurt. My child broke her toe walking into the bath or running into the bathroom last week. So, you know, like, and she dances, has never had a dance injury.
That's right. So see.
But hurt herself walking in the bathroom.
Things happen.
So,
that's right. Things happen.
It's just life.
It is just life. But I know as moms, we want to try to be the best we can be and try to not let that happen. But things are going to happen. Got to let
it
go.
Don't be stupid about it. Like car wrecks are going to happen, but we can wear our seatbelts.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure.
Head injuries are going to happen, but our kids can wear helmets.
That's
like,
right.
Just be smart.
Well, we appreciate y'all hanging out with us today as we talked about sports injuries and keeping our kids safe. We know that's one of our number one priorities as parents.
Absolutely.
And if you have anything that we missed or you have anything that you want to add to what we talked about today, please reach out to us on all of our socials, in our email, hockeymomsuncensored@gmail.com. And we'll see y'all next week.
Bye, y'all.